السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا وطبيب قلوبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه، ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب. وقد قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: اللهم لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. My most respected ulama ikram, most respected elders and dear brothers and our young friends, let us all take the opportunity to recite Durood Sharif upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammad wa anzilhu al-maqad al-muqarraba indak. The few minutes that we have on this Mubarak and blessed Jummah occasion, we'll take the opportunity to first and foremost myself remind my own soul and my own self regarding a very important lesson, and I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this lesson a reality for all of us. And that is the reality of life and the reality of our creation and the reality of our existence. In the ayat sharifa that has been recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, man kana yuridu harth al-akhirah. This concept and aspect of the akhirah has been discussed in the Quran al-Kareem extensively. And the commentators write that as many times as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the word akhirah in the Quran, Allah has also mentioned the word dunya in the Quran. So these two words we will find very frequently in the Quran al-Kareem discussed, al-akhirah and al-dunya. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, man kana yuridu harth al-akhirah. The person who desires the fruit and the benefits or the outcome of the akhirah, of the life of the hereafter, nazid lahu fi harsi. A person who pursues this ambition, who makes this the focal part of his life, who desires this, who anticipates this, and he's enthusiastic about it, he's ambitious about it, then Allah says, nazid lahu fi harsi. We open those avenues and those doors through which he can excel in this regard. And on the other hand, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا. A person who limits himself to the crop of the world, the material world, and the life of this world. He narrows his vision, he narrows his ambition down to a dunya. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. We won't cut him short. We'll give him the dunya. We'll open the doors and avenues of a dunya for him. He'll excel materially. He'll excel in the world. But وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. That because he lost the focus of the akhirah and the real true goal and ambition of life, then in the akhirah, he is now going to be at a loss. So Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, commentator of Hadith Sharif, as mentioned in respect of this ayah, there is an Arabic saying that is known, Ad-Dunya Mazra'atul Akhirah. That the dunya is the cultivation ground of the hereafter. And he explains that just as much as a person has the focus of the hereafter, a person has to reside in this dunya. We have to exist, we have to subsist, we have to survive. And therefore he says that everything that a person does in this world should be in conformity and with the view of the akhirah and the hereafter. And this beautiful lesson has been taught to us. And just before we go to that, let us understand the distinction between the dunya and akhirah. The comparison that our Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith sharif that مَا الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مِثْلُ مَا يَجْعَلُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِسْبَعَهُ فِي الْيَمْ فَلْيَنْذُرْ بِمَا يَرْجُعُ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The likeness and the comparison of this world, the significance of this world in comparison to the hereafter, is like how a person takes his finger, puts it into the ocean, and removes it. What is left on the finger? That is ad-dunya. And what is in the ocean? That is al-akhirah. But as much as that is the truth and the reality, within that drop, a person has the opportunities to cultivate and to build and to construct and to develop for his entire, for his hereafter and the eternal life of the hereafter. In another hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. O kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. This world is a restraining place. It is a likeness of a prison for a true believer. And it is a jannah and a paradise and a place of achievement for a disbeliever. Whenever the servant gets an opportunity to come here, the thoughts and the lessons and the teachings of our great father and our senior, Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi, come to mind. And the example that comes to mind is that Maulana used to often give the example of the dunya, or the person in the dunya, he's sitting in a transit lounge. Sitting in a transit lounge and he's enjoying everything that is there in front of him. It could be a business class lounge or whatever he's sitting and enjoying. He is there and he's enjoying the comforts of that lounge, but at the same time, his focus and his attention is where? It's not on whatever is around him, but it is fixed on the departure time. There is always a departure board. Everywhere they will have the times, the electronic boards to show you what time you are leaving. So he will be there and he will be enjoying the comforts of that particular place, but at the same time, at the back of his mind, his worry, his fikr, and his conscious, his presence of mind is that I need to catch the flight. I cannot miss this flight. And together with that, he will look after whatever luggage and possessions he has with him. His currency, his bag, his items, whatever he has with him, he'll keep it close to him and ensure that he cannot get lost. So the dunya is the very same likeness and example that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith sharif, that three things follow a person to his grave: his wealth, his family, and his a'mal and his actions. And two will return and one will remain. And we know the two that will return and we know the one that will remain. It is only his deeds and his actions that will go with him. And that is his currency. That is his boarding pass. That is his everything that he needs to get onto that ongoing flight. So, in terms of this particular lesson, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to reflect and contemplate that we are in alame dunya. We are in the sunset lounge. We are in that temporary space. And we are not going to be here for long. And therefore, the concern and the ongoing worry and the ongoing effort and pursuit should be really for what we need to do for alami akhirah and the life of the hereafter. In this regard, there are just two or three points that I will make. And again, I'm saying this is just a short lesson and a reminder for myself and for all of us. That firstly, when it comes to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us remember that when Allah Rabbul Alameen has declared something obligatory, has made something fard and compulsory, it means that that action and that obligation is so beneficial for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared it fard and compulsory. You cannot do without it. You cannot miss it. You cannot forgo it. So apply that to all the obligations of Islam. When something is compulsory on us, it's not a burden. It's not something that we should look for ways to bypass or to do it in the shortest way. Or to just gloss over it, because it's a fard, it's compulsory, I have to tick the box, I just have to give that zakat. I just have to make that qurbani some way or the other. Or that salah, the easiest way that I can get it done, I have to do it. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept deep wisdom, benefit, and goodness in that action to the extent that Allah doesn't want us to miss it. So therefore, make sure that you fulfill it like you would do something important in your life that is of benefit for you. And on the other hand, when something is haram and unlawful and declared forbidden, then it means that that item or that aspect or that food or that action is so harmful for us. It is so detrimental for us. It is so poisonous for our system, for our spirituality, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distanced it from us and declared it haram and forbidden. So there should be no way that a person even contemplates going near that aspect. So when we look at the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to undertake in our daily life, in this light, then it will be easier for us. It is a motivation for us. That there is great wisdom, hikmat, benefit and khair for me in this. I must execute it and do it in the best possible way. And when something is forbidden and haram, I need to distance myself from it in such a way that even inadvertently, I do not stumble over it or I do not become a victim of that sin and that guna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The other aspect is that in every good that a person has to do, when we have to execute a good action, and this is all in respect of our akhirat, because at the end of the day, it is a'mal. Right? Our entire life is made up of a composition of actions. Our time is a creation, it will expire. Our bodies will expire. Everything will disintegrate. Everything about us and with us and around us will disintegrate and will fall away. But it is only a'mal that will be the component that will continue and that has substance that to survive and continue into the life of the hereafter. So, when the opportunity to do a good action arises, we know that in doing a good action, there is some level of effort that is required. There is some degree of sacrifice that is required. There is sometimes some pain or sacrifice of comfort that a person has to undertake to do that good action. So, when a person is doing a good action, we must remember that that pain and that difficulty that a person undergoes, that is temporary and momentary. It will come to an end. But the benefit of that good action, once it is undertaken and once that sacrifice is made, then the benefit of that good action will continue throughout that person's life and it will go with that person in his grave. And he will be raised on the day of Qiyamah with that good action and he will put on his scale of good deeds and eventually that good action will accompany him and he'll enjoy the fruit of it in Jannah. So therefore, because of a little sacrifice, do not forgo a good deed. And secondly, in terms of a bad action, of a haram, of an unlawful thing, there is some joy that a person is looking for. Some lazzat he is looking for in that guna, in that haram. But that joy and that happiness that a person gets from guna, which in reality is not joy and happiness, is very temporary and very momentary. It is something that is just there for that moment and after that it expires. But the guna and the sin and the burden of that will continue with a person throughout his life, into his grave, and he will be raised on the day of Qiyamah with that. It will put onto his scale of deeds and he will be condemned for it and he will be held accountable for it. And he will feel the heat of that wrong action or that wrongdoing on the day of Qiyamah. So therefore, whenever these two situations are placed in front of us, keep these two points in mind. And the third point, and I will conclude on this, and these things are not normally mentioned in an open talk, but because of the congregation are intelligent and understanding, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Mullah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned, he says that when a person turns to me for reformation, I do not look at that person's ibadat. I don't want to see how much of tahajjud that man is reading, how much of tasbih he's reading, how pious he is in terms of his actions and his good. My focus and my attention is on that person's character, on his morals, on his manners. And the thing that I focus on is that, is this person inconveniencing anyone, causing harm to anyone, causing hurt to anyone? And if that is the case, then a'mal and good deeds must be done. We cannot relegate the status of good deeds and a'mal and worship, especially if it's obligatory. But all the nafil ibadat put together and inconveniencing and hurting and harming others is something that is not tolerated. And that will weigh against a person big time when it comes to the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to work towards the akhirah, make the akhirah our pursuit and our ambition. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept wa akhiru da'wana.